This is a walk up there from the pass, up there. You have to climb it along the thin pathway. Up there, along. And on both sides, there's the chasm. It's all black, elephant skin-like. No other way up. Just go up. Don't look, don't imagine slipping there to the bottom. Where could you stop? Yes, there. Not far away. 5 meter away. And then this would be further down at great speed. And then you would hit your head and turn around and who knows what. So, just concentrate. Go up there. Into hours time you make it, even less actually, 1 hour and 15 minutes you're at the top. Beautiful view, oh the fantastic glacier, so many rocks in front, not rocks which are silly and banal. They are strange rocks. They look like snow. They're very whitish. And they've got some marks because water could chisel them, penetrate them, because it was just calc and it's all full of holes, parallel holes. It's a kind of enormous cheese somehow. Anyway, you just go on, you reach the second pass, as it were. It's the top. And then you have to go down again. And then you arrive, you land on the moon somehow. No more flower, almost none. And all is grey. Already first a large mass of rock on the right, and you don't see the lake. There's a small lake down there, you know it, but you have to cross some rocks. Be careful, the rocks are unstable, so just go along on these small rocks crossing the slope. Yes, you reach bigger rocks and you finally see the lake, or just not. It's time for a break. 2 hours walk, that's quite a bit. You started at 10:30, now it's 12:30, the right time for a drink of your special syrup, homemade, and a tomato, because you feel thirsty. You didn't bring along so much syrup, actually. Just half a liter. Will that be enough? Anyway, two other walkers come towards you, and you can talk to them. They started from the hut over there, behind the mountain. The Oban hut, and they had a long stop for lunch, but now they have to hurry because so many clouds come from the direction they head for. Anyway, so you have to go on. Now it's a bit easier, the plain is flatter, the stones are smaller. A bit more flowers there. Some small flowers you didn't know. some small pinkish flowers, looking like used up flowers somehow. Not particularly beautiful, so small, but very strange. The flowers of witches, who knows? For the rest, these big yellow flowers, which you can use for all kinds of medicines, are there. Arnica. But you have to go on. It's still very long until you can reach the end of your walk. So the next stage is this large piece of water, and there's a large mass of snow still on the left, and you have to go on and cross the river. Actually, no, you made a mistake. It's not the right way. For God's sake, you've lost 30 minutes. Anyway, you'll cross the river again and find the right way down. Because you know, there, round the corner, there's this fantastic spot you love. It's full of moss. But it's further down. First, these steps of stone, quite steep actually. You never know where to go. The way is marked, but not clearly. You'd still have to fumble along these rocks, find your way. You have the impression it's here that you could put a tent and have a fantastic evening around a fire. But no, it's not there. It's further down, and it's even more beautiful. Down there you can find the small lake you had almost forgotten, with these violet purple flowers all around this year, as if there were different flowers this year. Anyway, this is the place you first started your walk for, because this is paradise, actually. It's really paradise. All soft and calm in the middle of all these craggy rocks. Everything's menacing except for this kind of carpet of moss and fine, fine flowers. So you have to go on. But where is this way? Further down, it's getting a bit tough. You don't know where the way is. You have to go back towards the upper part of the slope. So you have to climb again. And this is already quite painful after 3 hours walk. Anyway, it's just a small bit. So up, 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 and then you reach these lapia or lapi, these rocks which are sawn all along by water. And they are easy to walk on. They are quite rough, but smooth at the same time. It's quite strange, but it's easy to walk on these rocks. You cross them. The slope is sidewards. It's not that easy. And then you reach that region when some grass is mixed with these rocks. It's getting beautiful. All kinds of butterflies are there, and some seem to follow you. You have the impression you're going to step on them, but no, they pay attention. Some small birds are there behind a rock, and when you walk around the corner, they're taking off, frightened. You just hope they won't get lost. They will be able to come back. Anyway, you have to go on. And then the path is steeper among some rocks, still beautiful. Everything is beautiful there. You feel like keeping a goat there and staying there in the mountain, in the sunshine among flowers. But there's no water. The water rivulet, or just the river, small river, is down there, further down. So you couldn't keep a goat there, except if you collect water. Anyway, nobody's there. In previous years, there were some cows here. No cow to be seen. You just go down, and you finally reach these kind of electric barriers for cows, so the cows are further down. It's all eaten up. You're getting tired. And there's a kind of river, but no water. So it's all swampy. Anyway, they collect water down there in some channels, but nothing for you as a tourist, and your bottle is empty. So you could, yes, good idea, you could pick up these green halms, you know, which are a bit acid and very good against your thirst. So that's very handy. You're going down and coming across this peasant who has to go and pump some water to the upper Alp because he's got some cows further up, and for the moment they don't have enough water. So just a chat there with him. And further down, you feel thirsty. And again, these plants which help you, happily enough. After 6 hours walk, it's getting a bit flatter. There's a long, long road, all flat. And with a fantastic view, you can go along there and you remember there's a river 30 minutes away. So it gives you some courage and you finally reach the river. Your knees hurt because you had an accident this last March. So anyway, your muscles are not very fit. So you just have to walk to that river. You finally reach it. You've got a plastic bottle, happily enough. You can fill it in. And you remember there's the bus. There's a bus still in the month of August. So you could reach the bus. What time is the bus? Happily enough, there's the internet and you can check it. Yes, in 30 minutes you can take the bus. So, and you can even pay with your phone. So you pay by phone and you reach the bus stop there. You still have to climb a bit to reach the bus stop. It's a bit painful, but you make it, and half an hour before taking the bus, you're there. So that was a good walk, wasn't it? Yes, how long will it take to recuperate? 1 or 2 days? Yes, you have to accompany your girlfriend on a small tour in 2 days' time. So hopefully you'll be up and fit again. Thinking without words. Have you ever tried? Can you, in your mind, point out an idea without words? I think you can. Everybody can. And if you learned many languages, perhaps it helps to develop that skill, because you could very well in yourself say, now, I've got an idea. let's formulate it in English, in French, in whatever. But you could, at the same time, you just point your spirit towards one thing to say. And it doesn't matter what words you use. Your head is filled with just the idea. And my theory or my thesis, which remains to be verified, is that if you think that way, you can think more quickly. That's because you're not disturbed by words. Words are instruments, tools. They are tools in the service of the idea. So they're not the idea itself. Perhaps thinking with ideas only would be quicker. You would feel more nimble to reach, to develop thinking, to develop thought. Yes. Of course, you would have to resort to words to come back and express the idea. So it's basically the same, a parallel way as this cave story of Plato, if I think of it, and in a way. But the originality of what I'm saying is that you can very well be in the normal world and be in touch with this ideal world, this world of ideas, and play with them in everyday life. Remains to be tested. What do you think about it? Cheers.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.